I don't remember this, but there was a point in time in our recent history when a neighbor would walk across the street to the next door neighbor, knock on the door, person would answer the door, and the neighbor would say, "Excuse me, but can I borrow a cup of sugar?" What? Can you borrow a cup of sugar? Here's an idea. Put some clothes on, go to the store, and buy some sugar. Can I borrow a cup of sugar? Where does that stop? Excuse me, we're a little short of salt. Can I have some salt, please? Can you pass the salt over to my house? Can I borrow a cup of salt?
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird. If you like that sort of thing.
Can I borrow some lard, please? A cup of lard,
whatever.
Please?
Whatever.
Can I borrow your wife for just a couple of hours, please? Can I borrow your car? Anyone want to borrow your car? Just want to run down the street. Can I borrow your car? Morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julio. Welcome to the program. How are you today? Good to be with you. I value this time that we spend together. How about you? Not so much? Okay, well, whatever. My. Well, the birds are chirping and everything's good. You know what I'm saying? Kim Jong-un. I don't know. That sounds like when they named him, they just were like picking various sounds that items make when they clash together. Kim. I don't know. I wouldn't say he's brilliant, but I think he's brilliant. He's a kid. My God, he's a kid. He looks like he was living in his parents' house, which kind of was. He looked like a kid that was like stepped out of the room for a couple of minutes from playing video games to get a can of Coke or something. It was just, he looks like a kid. Anyway, here's his brilliance. And by the way, Donald Trump, you know this guy, he's taking credit for this North Korea move toward peace or something. He's taking full credit for it. Trump said at a Michigan rally, they're saying that Donald Trump didn't have much to do with getting the Korean Peninsula to go for peace. But you know what Donald, and he's speaking of himself, he says, you know what Trump did? Everything. Like, Donald, God. Keep the ego, like, at least within this solar system. Anyway, here's what Kim Jong-un, here's why he's brilliant. North Korea was a trouble spot for a long time, a tiny, tiny country, flexing its muscles and always going, it's North Korea. Then Kim Jong-un, he starts developing nuclear weapons and starts testing them in front of our face, right in front of your face. He starts waving them right in front of your face. And then he starts making things like, if I wanted to, I could wipe out the United States. We were laughing for a long time, like, yeah, right. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh, I think he can do this. So anyway. Here was Kim's plan. I don't know this for a fact, but I'm supposing this because I'm a smart individual. Here's what Kim's plan was all the time, and now he's activating it. his plan is to build up the nuclear arsenal, and then he automatically becomes a player. And as much as people are saying, oh, it's North Korea, he's just a crazy guy, after a while, it's like, oh, like he's capable of doing this. Kim puts himself in a position to embetter his country. Kim doesn't want to bomb the United States. He knows if he did that, the United States would pretty much take care of Korea and annihilate it. He knows that. I mean, it's a no-brainer. Everybody knows that. So Kim wouldn't do something like that. Kim would say, well, I'll do a preemptive strike on the United States because they're going to strike me. No, you wouldn't, because if you did, yeah, we would. And then your country would be gone and we'd still have a good part of the country left over here. So Kim, what he does is he plays his cards really, really well. So he builds up the importance of North Korea to the point where he decides that now he's got cards to play with, you see. He didn't have cards to play with before. Now he's got a full deck. His head isn't a full deck, but his game is a full deck. Now he says, I'll tell you what, I will lessen or maybe even back off on my nuclear weapons if North Korea becomes a trade partner with the world, especially with the United States. We'll trade goods, and we'll make a lot of money, and you'll make a lot of money, and we'll be a world player. North Korea will be on the stage of a world economic force, and our country will become rich and a player in the world. That's all Kim ever wanted. He wanted, just like Trump, he has the ego where he wants to be a major player. He wants to have a say in how things go globally. And he's getting it. Now, Kim can say to Trump and to the South Korean president, here's what we'll do. We'll close down our nuclear bases. We'll start getting rid of our nuclear arsenal. And if we do that, you have to make us one of you. Trade with us. Deal with us, listen to us, our opinions matter worldwide. That's what he's going to do. Is he going to get rid of all of his nuclear stuff? No. Will he bring it down to a level where now he's an important player in the world? Yeah. And that's the deal. Good move, baby. Nice move. Nice move. Yeah. As Kim grows up, he may mature just a bit. Who knows? We don't know. One thing I know is our president is over 70 years old. He ain't going to mature any more than he is. What you see is what you get. That's my problem. The other piece of political news, and then I'll move on with lighter subject matter, because that's what I pretty much am supposed to be doing. The White House Correspondents' Dinner took place this past weekend, and it sucked the big one. Donald Trump decided not to attend because he probably knew that if he attended, he'd be made fun of. See, here's Donald's thing. He can make fun of everybody. He can call Rosie O'Donnell fat, disgusting. He can call the Miss Americas fat and ugly. He can diss people, give them nicknames, ruin their reputations, make horrendous comments about people on a daily basis, as if he's doing a filthy stand-up routine like Don Rickles, only, you know, with hate instead of love. Trump can do this any day of the week he wants, and he does. But with the White House Correspondents' Dinner, if they get a comedian who starts insulting people, everybody gets crazy. The White House Correspondents' Dinner was a horrible, horrible event. They got a comedian, Michelle something, who is filthy, and she made fun of Sarah Huckabee Sanders, how could you not? Not because of the way she looks, but because of the things she says. Yet it was embarrassing. Nobody laughed. It was bad. Why the White House Correspondents' Dinner has to have an edgy comedian, I'll never know. It's a stupid move. The people who run that are stupid people. They shoot themselves in the foot every time they do this, and it happened again. Now is a controversy where all that. Here's the thing. Trump is a horribly disgusting person when it comes to making fun of people, dividing people. He is Mr. Negativity. His job is to do a stand-up routine about how horrible everybody is except for him, with biting, horrible examples and things, degrading women in every sense of the word, et cetera, et cetera. That's his gig, man. Don't try to match it with your insult comedians at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. You're just bringing yourself down to that pathetic level. That comedian stuff has got to stop. If you're going to get a comedian there to do those dinners, make it a comedian that doesn't do insult humor, because that's just low. It's a correspondence dinner. It's not a roast. Can we get politics and reporters and media and White House and Congress all just to say, you know, we're supposed to be above all this crap? We don't make fun of each other. Right now, this country is very divided. Thanks to Donald. Donald has divided us, and he perpetuates the division because he thinks that's a success thing for him. But anybody that perpetuates division in the United States of America, I think that's a treasonous act in a sense. In a sense. Is it divided we stand, united we'd fall? Is that what it is, Don? No matter whether you're a Don or you're not a Don, no matter which side of the fence you're on, we must all start agreeing that all this activity, all this negativity and these insults, and they've really got to stop. And that's on you, Don. And it's on you, the White House Correspondents' Dinner. No more of this fake news crap. We know the difference behind entertainment news and reporting and good journalism. I think we're supposed to know that. Without journalism and good, honest reporting, we would be in a communist state. That's pretty much the division. State media or a free press. All right, I'm sorry. I got a little bit too into it. Now let's get to things that are not as into it. What are you wearing?
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing?
I don't have a bit here. I just was curious.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. Did they just not offer you a second choice? Or did you not have a lot of time to choose? Help me out here. I don't understand. What were you thinking?
It is a good question. The question has been raised properly, and I don't know the answer to that. Do you? I don't think you do. All right, welcome. Hey, you can listen to us on the Podbean Network. They house all of our programs. There's over 1,000 episodes there on the Podbean Network. You'll find our show there, all of them. And then we're also on iTunes and TuneIn Radio and the Alexa Amazon app and all that stuff, and SoundCloud and RainCloud and Shovel Pants, all those places. So there you have that. You know, a sure sign of spring, the birds chirping, and I was in a nice sound sleep overnight, and all of a sudden the sun comes up, and I hear chirping outside my window. Well, this is not a Disney movie. This is Ron trying to get some sleep before he has to do the show. I was awoken by, I don't know what kind of birds they were. I think they were blue jays. I'm not sure. Maybe they were cardinals. Maybe they were popes or bishops. I really don't know what they were. But they were flying in my trees and making chirping sounds, probably unaware that they were waking me up. And the chirping was incessant. It just didn't stop. Now, I didn't harm the birds, and I didn't yell out the window, "Hey, birds, shut up," because I don't think they speak English anymore. I don't know where they're from. I wonder if birds chirp in different languages, depending on where they come from. Do birds from Costa Rica have a South American accent of some sort? Perhaps so, but I will never know. Because no one's going to ask that question. No one's going to take the time to answer it. There are people trying to cure cancer, I think. By the way, could you guys that are trying to cure cancer, could you get on the stick a little bit, please? This has been going on for decades. Well, Ron, we've come up with some incredible treatments for cancer to the point where the survival rate is really very good. Okay, good. Thanks for doing that, and I'm glad you're doing it, because in the meantime, but this is in the meantime thing, can you try to just cure the sucker within my lifetime? Probably not. But there are people trying to do that, I believe. I've never met them. When I meet people on the street, it's like, hi, how are you? What do you do for a living? Oh, I work at Walmart. I don't think I've ever encountered somebody. Hi, what do you do for a living? Oh, I'm coming up with a cure for cancer. Oh, thank you for your service. I've never run into somebody like that. Maybe it's the people I run into don't do those kinds of things, but I would love to meet a scientist, and if they said, well, I'm working on a cure for cancer, I would say, if I give you $10, could you step this up a little bit? Could you kind of like work maybe overnight for a change, you know, like put in a couple hours of overtime and get this thing done? Because apparently, to my knowledge, it's killing a lot of people and causing heartache like you would not believe. So if you could just like skip lunch, do like a working lunch, and just maybe by 5 o'clock before you go home, cure the damn thing once and for all. Well, Ron, cancer is a very general term. It's like there's brain cancer and lung cancer. And yeah, I get it. But we're doing genetic things here. We can clone. We can change the genetics of people. We can order babies with blonde hair. I think Hitler told me he could do that. I mean, like, can you just like alter the genes and make sure that like maybe if you start to get cancer, we can just like alter those babies and stop the spreading and then move on, go see a movie or something. I'll tell you what, here's the deal. Bob, you cure cancer. I'll take you out to dinner tomorrow night. What do you think, huh? Do we have a deal? So there are people working on that, which is far more important than what I'm talking about. I'm just saying. Anyway, I for quite some time I've been doing investing. It's not a bad idea. If you have a little bit of money, you try to invest it. Stock market goes up and down. There are bonds. There are all kinds of different things to invest in: corporate bonds, municipal bonds, funds, all kinds of things. 401k, 2073, Formula 409, all kinds of investments. I do some of them. But here's the thing. I don't do it myself. I have an investor counselor. I don't know how much they charge. I don't even know what his name is. I don't even know what they do. Here's what happens with the investment guy. He calls me like once a month, which is pretty cool. And he says, hi, Ron. We want to go over the investments here. We want to buy this for you, and it's a great investment. And I listen to them talk like for half an hour. And when they're finished talking, I have no idea what they said. But I feel the urge to sound intelligent back to them. So I say, well, that makes a lot of sense. I don't know what you're talking about. Well, that makes a lot of sense, though. That's wonderful. Yes, go ahead. I approve that because that makes a lot of sense. It makes no sense. I don't know what the hell you said. The more they sound like they know what they're talking about, the more I trust them. It's not a difficult thing, unless you want to understand what they said. So I endeavor to have enough intelligence to know what other people are talking about. In the world of an investment, I don't know what they're talking about. I figure if I did, I wouldn't need them. So as long as they're getting paid by somebody, probably me, I don't even know. I don't know if they're paid by the investment dividends, or I have no idea. It makes me uncomfortable not to know what they're doing, especially when it involves my money. It makes me a little queasy. It makes me want to like throw up inside my mouth because it's my money, and I'm just trusting that they know what they're doing. It's a very uncomfortable position to be in, but I have no choice because I don't know what the hell they're talking about. I've tried to learn. I go on that Google thing, and I try to read a lot of articles about Investing 101. By the way, where is Investing 100? Why is 101 the start of everything? That sounds like it's one course into the 100s already. I missed course 100. I'm on 101. Maybe that's the problem. That's why I don't understand anything. Have you ever tried an online college? It's like I can't do that. As soon as I go online, I'm all of a sudden a naked woman named Betsy shows up on my screen. I don't know where she came from, but there she is. And somehow Betsy lures me more toward her site than the college site. Now, of course, I'm making this up. I don't know who Betsy is. How you doing, honey? Hi, sweetheart. I'm kidding. It's a joke. This is a joke. I don't do online colleges. I don't do online anything. I don't do online banking. I do very few online purchases because they involve using my credit card online. As I've stated so many times, I've stayed away from Facebook like a plague. Like they are the enemy and out to sell me. I feel like this is some type of a white slavery thing or any kind of slavery thing where they're selling your children or something. They're selling me. They're selling my information. In one sense, it makes me feel better because it makes me feel like I'm worth something. Who would want to steal my identity? I've talked about this before as well. I can imagine someone stealing my identity, then looking at the information and going, I don't want this identity. Give it back to him. He sucks. His identity sucks. I don't want anything to do with this. Give it back to him quickly. When I hear that my information has been sold, like from Facebook or something, I feel important. I don't know who you are, but my information has been sold for money. So there you go. That's how important I am. Yes. Yes, I have value. Everything's so messed up. It's unbelievable. It really is unbelievable. All right. I did talk about investing, did I not? I don't recall now. That was a long time ago. I do invest a little bit, and I don't understand what I'm invested in. So I thought I would speak to someone who could help me become financially literate. Because I don't remember learning this in school. My parents, I don't think they were financially literate either. So let's see what's going on.
Hey, Ron.
Hi, Allison. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm fine. Allison Somerville is a business administration executive and head of corporate citizenship at Ally Financial, Ally Bank. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, pleasure being had. I don't know what that meant. Anyway, we're talking about literacy as far as finance is concerned, because this is financial literacy month, which is a month for everything. Might as well be for this as well. Now, what are we talking about? What is financial literacy?
Well, April is Financial Literacy Month every year, and it really is a time that we set aside to heighten our focus on initiatives and helping people and families improve their understanding of financial principles and best practices and really just how to be responsible with their money.
Okay. And you realize, of course, that none of us know this.
Well, that's why we're talking to you today.
Okay. All right. Because I usually turn to experts when it comes to something like that, because I don't even understand when they're explaining it to me. I nod my head in agreement, even though I don't really. Is that something that is indeed lacking in our society, this understanding of these basics?
Yeah, I do think that there is there's a large segment of our society that just really doesn't understand mm-hmm. basic financial principles, and so what we really try to do is provide educational tools and opportunities for learning that people can just get tips and ideas and try to make these principles relevant to their everyday lives.
So, are we talking about kids actually picking up this skill?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, it's important for adults, but likewise, it's very important for children. It's really never too young to start teaching children about the value of money and, you know, setting good examples for them. And, you know, even young kids really can understand concepts about money if you make it pretty simple. And, you know, I'm a mother, and I know that my children watch everything I do. And so it's important for me to be setting a good example about how I make decisions about spending money. And they'll hopefully emulate responsible behavior.
Yeah, this is something that I don't remember being taught in school at all. Is it taught in school that you know of?
You know, I think there's some basic principles that I do see some curriculum that covers sort of, you know, needs versus wants and those sorts of things. But, you know, what we try to do is get into schools and help supplement that education and really think about, you know, spend, save, give, and sort of think about money in those three buckets. Yeah. Kids can really understand that, and that, you know, that you spend your money first on the things that you need, you save for the things that you want, and then put some aside to be able to go help others who may not be in a position to save their money. Mm-hmm. So those are the kind of principles that we want to help kids and supplement in their education.
That's great. I mean, not only for financial situations like investing and getting ready for retirement and all that kind of stuff, but I don't think most people even know how to figure out a mortgage and what compound interest is. Those simple things are not really known.
That's right. And so, you know, we have a website, allywalletwise.com, uh-huh. and there's tools and calculators that people can go to help try to figure out those things, because it is a little bit of a black box, I think, for many people to understand what it all means and how it pertains to them. So, you know, that's what we try to do through our classes and our online tools, is to give everyone the opportunity to have more clarity on what it means for them.
Is Ally Bank entirely online?
It is, yes.
Interesting, because whenever I go online to find banks with high interest rates because I want my money to grow, like what a concept that is, Ally Bank is always like at the top of the list, and I'm always thinking, like, how do they do that?
Well, you know, we believe in doing what's right for our customers, and obviously by not having branches and, you know, brick-and-mortar operations, we're able to provide a better service level for our customers.
Yeah, I'd say so. okay. All right. Well, all right. Let's move on. So so how do we get this education? So now we know that we don't understand everything that we should know. And my God, not knowing things, not having the knowledge, you always take second place. When you know what's going on and you understand, then you can take command of your decisions. So this is like really important.
Exactly right. That's exactly right. So we provide opportunities for in-person classes that are WalletWise classes. We teach them in person, and AllyWalletWise.com provides the dates and places for where those take place. But then also, you know, you have the power to go out and try to learn that yourself through the tools that we provide out there on the website. So, you know, I really do recommend for anyone that has questions about things or just doesn't feel like they have a great command about how to be responsible with their money, that these are great opportunities. They're free. Take advantage of them.
Absolutely, yeah. And this is like for any age, really. I mean, kids, yeah, because that's a great place to start,
right.
But even adults, they don't know what they're doing.
Right.
Okay, fine.
Right.
All right.
Right. I mean, any stage of life, it's important to be, it's always important to even have a reminder.
Yeah. As I said at the top of the interview, when financial things are explained to me by the professionals, I just shake my head like I know what they're talking about, but I don't, because I don't want to appear stupid.
Right.
And I'd love to be in a different position where I can at least grasp what they're telling me. Okay.
Well,
one more time where I go for more information.
www.allywalletwise.com.
Perfect. Hey, pleasure speaking to you today, Allison.
Thanks so much, Ron.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Have a great day.
Wonderful lady. Epitome of gracefulness and knowledge. I don't know about you, because I really don't care, but I personally find that an intelligent woman is attractive. I am actually attracted to intelligent women. They turn me on. They do. I don't know what it is, but I'm attracted to intelligence. Someone who's well-spoken, thinks on their feet, has an eloquent voice, is vocally engaging, says things that come from knowledge and common sense, very attractive to me. It's very attractive. Yeah. I'm out of time. I'm also getting very horny. That's not funny. That is not funny. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I'll be back again tomorrow with another show. Will you join me then? Thank you. I didn't give you a chance to say no. Until then, I wish you peace.